TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV.
G'day and welcome to TV Times 3, episode 28.
I'm Ray from railingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com. And I'm talking with an accent simply because later, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about accents. And we thought it might be fun if I talk with an accent for a little bit. So there you go.
Okay. That was fun. All right.
That was fun.
News. Let's move on to some news because I can sense this going nowhere good. Okay.
And fast. You guys have the news written down because as usual, I did not write anything down except the TV shows that we're talking about.
Okay. Were you going to say the first one, Jason, or did you want me to say?
Oh, well, Fox has canceled the talk show with Spike Ferriston. They're apparently going to completely revamp their whatever they're going to do on late night Saturdays, since they're also have recent, you know, earlier in the year canceled Mad TV.
I have never seen an episode of that show. Not Mad TV, the Spike show.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of it either. Not a big loss to me.
Nope.
Probably why it's not a big loss to Fox either. The CW in the fall will be giving up its Sunday nights to basically to the affiliate stations, right? So they can put anything in syndication or whatever.
Yeah.
Your local station will have their own stuff on that channel is basically the...
I hate my local CW station. They have the CW Philly Green Crew or something. Oh my God. I hate them all.
Sorry.
No offense if you're listening.
Well, you know they are.
Yeah.
Mine has people drive around CW cars around the city. Isn't that weird?
It seems a lot less fun than mine.
Yeah, they don't really have any. Well, they do get to cover, like, because the Supernatural, like, there's a fan convention that is Icon that's here in Orlando. So they have this last one, they actually covered it. Like, they went out and had interviews or whatever. So they've had some, like, little stuff, but...
Yeah, they did just get local news on my CW affiliate.
Oh, we have, like, a morning buzz show. Can't remember what it's called.
Oh, so do we! I can't remember what it's called either. But I know what the weatherman looks like.
That's funny. All right. Sidetrack.
The weatherman is not Dave Roberts. David Boreanaz instead. He's on a real station.
Okay. The point here being that... The CW is giving up yet another night. Well, not really, because we haven't seen actual...
It's the same night that everybody else has already had stuff on.
Well, they gave it away last year.
That's what I mean. They haven't had their actual scripted stuff on that channel for, like, a new scripted show on Sunday nights for a long time, so...
Yeah,
especially
just
since they ran, like, America's Next Top Model reruns or whatever.
I actually liked it when they were running reruns on Sunday. Not the ones that they have at the moment, but whatever.
Well, they used to also do, or they still do, I think... where they played earlier in, you know, in the evening, you know, 5-6 o'clock, they'd play reruns of
Everwood Beginnings
of stuff. Sometimes it was reruns of previous seasons, but sometimes it was a rerun of something from earlier in the week.
All right, next item.
Next item, NBC announced, while they didn't say anything about Chuck, they did say that life was dead.
Breaks my little heart.
No crickets or chippets for that during the moment of silence.
Chippets. Shit, I forgot about that.
Shut up. Anyway, I'm very sad.
I am too. But I hope that Damian Lewis shows up somewhere else where he can wear jeans and black shirts all the time.
That would be nice.
That'd be fantastic. And a minor fruit fetish.
Yeah, no, you know how I hate when people eat. So... He can forego the fruit.
What are we talking about? I'm just picturing Damian Lewis. All right, reining myself back in. On a happier note, Fox has renewed Fringe for a second season. A full 22-episode second season. So,
yes, it has. That was a round of applause. Done by me.
I am happy for it.
Me too.
Not that it surprises me. I mean, when you got the people who are got a hit movie out right now at the helm, how could you say no to that?
Exactly.
And it was doing
until he
great.
Fails on the season, and somebody else takes over and doesn't answer any questions.
Well, I wasn't talking about just JJ. I was talking about
Roberto.
Yeah. Both Roberto and isn't that horrible that I can't think of the other guy's name right now? I'm sorry, JR? Other guy. No.
Alex Kurtz. Alex?
Yes.
Sorry,
not JR.
Alex, the other guy, Kurtzman.
I could think of you, JR, but that wasn't the person I was thinking of. The other person who wrote the movie. That was what I was talking about. Anyway. Star Trek, by the way.
Right?
They also did Transformers. But they
what
both...
movie are we talking about?
Okay,
which was awesome, by the way.
Roberto and Alex both wrote Star Trek. JJ directed it.
You know how I know Star Trek was awesome?
Because it was.
Oh, I'm going to hate you. I knew where you were going as soon as I said, wow. I'm not speaking to you, by the way. I'm just going to make this podcast awkward. Anyway, sorry. And our last piece of news is that ABC has picked up the pilot series Modern Life, which is a comedy. And I think they gave it 13 episodes to start with here. So I know that their upfronts aren't for like another week and a half or something, but they have already picked up at
next
least.
Friday.
Next Friday?
You know how I know that? Nathan Fillion told me.
Oh, I was going to say something bad.
You know what? He might have just found out that they might just find out on Friday. And like,
yeah, I think their upfronts are during the week.
After. So I don't know.
Because Fox is the first upfront and it's on the Monday, like the 18th or something. So I don't think they might
and
find
Nathan
out.
Has been...
No. Like Nathan might find out
he might,
his
yeah,
news
they might find out.
So that they can be there in New York in time for the upfronts.
Got it.
Anyway, point is ABC picked up Modern Life, which stars, one of the stars is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
From the class. I prefer not to remember him from Do Not Disturb.
Yes.
I don't know who the other stars are right now because I can't think of their names. But it's a show about three different families, like the three different types of American families you can come upon, I guess.
Yes.
I'm not going to expound on it any further because I can't remember the official description and I'll just butcher it. So there you go.
And Lord knows we don't like to butcher things.
No. We don't. No.
Somebody right. somewhere said something. Anyway.
That's got to be the title of something.
Yeah.
We need that to be somewhere. The title of an episode. Anyway. Any other news? Does anybody else have anything else?
I feel like a lot has happened and we're not catching it.
Isn't that always the case?
Yes. Guys, if you really want TV news, type in google.com. TV space news.
The problem is that by the time we podcast, so much has happened that we only remember the really big things that stand out in our head.
We try and pick out the stuff that you really need to know about.
Exactly. Because we know what you need to know about.
Sort of a news filter, if you will.
Exactly. Only the important stuff from these guys.
That's one way to look at it. All right. Let's move on to our topic, why don't we?
Yes. Because I got to be honest, I'm not sure what it is. No, I do know what it is. I've already threatened to break into...
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
I just want to see where you're going with that. All right, our topic was from...
That sentence had no end.
Anyway. I knew where it ended, but you just didn't end it. All right, anyway, whatever. Our topic was from Chris Vaughn.
Chris Vaughn! He's back!
A round of applause for Chris Vaughn from Amory.
I'm just really excited because I was mean to him the last time when I was like, God, somebody else take a topic.
Oh, Chris. All right. let me read to you what Chris had to say. Are we okay with that?
Yes. Rock on.
Rock on, Chris Vaughn.
Stop. All right.
Anyway.
Do you think the powers that be underestimate America's tolerance of foreign accents? I'm thinking of Portia's Australian, new role in Better Off Ted. Kevin McKidd on Grey's Anatomy, because he's Irish. Amory would know that. Yvonne. Look, I like it that Chris didn't include Yvonne's last name, because clearly he wasn't sure how to spell it. And I'm not sure on how to say it, so I'm not going to say it. But Yvonne on sure. Chuck, who, yeah, I know, who plays Sarah. She's Australian. And then Simon Baker, who's also Australian.
Simon Baker! Woo!
And then, of course, Laurie on House, who is British, as we all know. What's the guy's name on Lie to Me?
Tim Roth.
Thank you. I know him, but I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. Tim Roth, who actually does get to speak in his accent. I'm bringing it up because he does get to speak in his. And, in fact, made that a stipulation. I'm taking it all. Anyway. So in his email, he says, some people have said that they even think the bionic woman may have done a better job if the lead actress had used her natural British accent.
Wow. I'm going to try that again.
Used her natural British accent instead of having to adopt an American accent.
Yes.
I agree.
Ray sort of slipped into her natural accent there for a second.
Screw you. All right. Anyway, what do you think? Do we need to get more, quote unquote, international? Thoughts? You know who I should have brought up? Owen.
Owen Yeoman.
Yes, Owen Yeoman. That's who I should have brought up. That time. Who with also
hot accent.
He does have a hot accent, which some people may not even realize he has an accent. I don't know.
Some people, parentheses, at Ray Lee.
My friends didn't know either. Thank you very much.
I don't know that any of my friends know who he is, so they wouldn't know either.
So, see, I'm not alone. All right, anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Over here.
Well, he asked if he thinks we need to get more international. I don't necessarily think so, necessarily. It depends on the part. I mean, if you're writing a show that's about an American family or something like that, then one of the characters is not going to be speaking, in another accent, like brothers and sisters. The guy who plays Kevin, he's from,
Wales.
Yeah, he doesn't speak like he does on the TV show normally, but he takes the role of part of this American family. He's going to speak, like he's from here. Not like he's from there.
Right. And here's the thing. I guess that leads to, well, why can't American actors get the job as an American person?
Well, because they find an actor who's better suited for it.
I don't know. You have people come in and you pick the ones that you think are going to work well together, that, have the ability to portray that character the way the writers, directors, creators think that the show should go.
Here's my thing. How did Michelle, what's her name, get the job then?
Well, I was going
to...
I wonder if...
She tried out with her accent?
I don't think that was the problem with that show. The problem with that show is they couldn't decide what they wanted that show to be long before they started making it. And then when they did start making it, they decided that they wanted directions, and nobody wanted to follow any of them. So it went away.
I actually do think her accent was part of the problem. I think because her acting was really bad, and everybody commented on how bad her acting was. And yet if you watch her in her, and I can't remember the name of the show that she was in previous to that.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Thank you. She's really good in Jekyll and Hyde. So there's clearly something that was causing her to not be good.
That can always happen if you're actually having to spend more thought in trying to to also do for her, do an American accent on top of learning your lines. And
I have a couple of comments. One, I just wanted to bring up what Bruno Heller, is that his last name?
Yes.
The Mentalist, the guy who created The Mentalist.
Yes.
Somebody asked this question at the panel we went to at Paley, asked about their accents and why one or the other or both couldn't speak in their natural accent. And he said, well, first of all, the character was perceived as American. Like, they, you know what I mean? When they made the character, he was American. But the other problem was that they couldn't have both of them speaking in their natural accents because that would take up too much time to explain how this person ended up on an American police force. And I guess I can understand it, like, if it's a police force or, you know what I mean? Like, it becomes an even more complicated issue because it's not like anybody who's just working. I think you probably could have gotten away with it for, like, the Bionic Woman or Yvonne on Chuck maybe could be her regular accent or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're talking about people who don't necessarily have to be, or even Portia on Better Off Ted, though, like, I think, though, she actually likes to have that, get rid of her accent, because that's how she portrays that character, that bitchiness.
Yeah.
But my point being that I understand where they're coming from, that if you have too many characters or if you have the kind of situation where you have to kind of explain the person's background, if they're speaking in their natural accent or their, you know what I mean? Like, I think actually, what's his face on Burn Notice? Why am I blanking on names right now? Matt Nix on Burn Notice said the same thing about why she wasn't allowed to have her, what is she? British?
She's British, but she had an Irish accent in the pilot and she liked it. But Matt Nick said it couldn't happen because how do they explain this Irish person, British person with an American accent? This would have to pretend to be American. So then she'd be British pretending to be Irish, pretending to be American. And it would just sound ridiculous.
True. Yeah. So, although she comes from Ireland, so it's kind of weird. But anyway.
Anyway.
The point being, like, I kind of get it. Like, sometimes the having to explain it, like, the person's accent being there having to explain it. On the flip side, like I said, if they're in a situation where you could accept that they were from some other place and that they had just moved to the States or that, you know what I mean? I could accept it because I actually know several people who speak, who have accents, or you know what I mean? Like, and I don't need to hear their backstory to understand it, but I would maybe need it if you had two people on a police force that's like a special police force that, you know what I mean? Like, it would be kind of weird that you ended up with two people who were both foreign on a very American police force. That's speaking specifically of The Mentalist, but in general, I think that I would agree that I think we could probably accept people with their natural accents more than they give us credit for.
Well, I think it all depends on, it's easy to accept as long as it works for the character. If the show is about, you know, this really smart British doctor that likes to solve puzzles, then Hugh Laurie speaks in his normal accent. But if you conceive of a show, American doctor, you know, then, you know, it just depends on how you want to, which direction you want to go. And I think that American audiences will easily accept somebody talking. I mean, they're watching Lie to Me. There's a new show. One of NBC's new shows has...
Are they really watching Lie to Me, though?
Has one of NBC's new shows for fall that they announced, the 100 Questions. The lead there is going to be speaking in her natural accent, not...
Yeah, but nobody's going to watch that.
I didn't say they were. I'm just saying that there are some shows that are out or are coming out that have characters playing, you know, in their native, you know, language or accent. I think, but it's kind of the same here. If you go over, you know, if an American actor goes over and were to take a role on a British show, you know, you might expect them to take on a British accent to play the role, unless the character was American. So I don't know. half of Americans in Hollywood writing shows about that take place in America for Americans to watch, you're, for the most part, you're going to end up with whether wherever the actor comes from, they're going to be taking on what would be considered an American accent. But then you still have things within that, like Kira Sedgwick on The Closer. She's playing an American from the South, and she's not. She doesn't mm-hmm. speak like that normally. So different roles call for different accents. It just depends on it really does depend on the role and what the character, what, you know, what they're going for.
So I guess my next question is who does it well and who doesn't do it well? And I'm going to start. Rachel Griffiths, love her to death. I think she's a really fantastic actress, but I cannot get over the fact that she doesn't hide her accent very well. Say what you will, I think she doesn't. She's Australian, for those of you confused.
You also didn't think that the lead on Harper's Island covered her accent very well.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. She doesn't. She doesn't. Every now and then, like, an Irish word sneaks in, and it she annoys doesn't. Me. No. That was me actually repeating. That wasn't the microphone.
I know.
I got a question for you, Amory, though. Okay. Any guys that
I don't think do it well?
Yeah.
I honestly, since I knew Owen Yeoman was British, I didn't think he did it very well. But other people may have just thought he talked funny. I don't know. Who else?
What I was going to say was that I don't have a problem with Rachel Griffiths. What I was going to say is that I do think she talks funny. Like, I knew that she's not, American, but mm-hmm. I didn't perceive it as necessarily her. I should have. I don't know why I didn't perceive it as her accent coming through. But I do think she talks with a weird affect.
Like a drawn-out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about it. Like, I was just thinking about it when you said it. I was like, do I have a problem? I don't really have a problem, like, with her accent coming out. It's just that she talks weird. And now I would, you know what I mean? It makes sense that that's obviously why she talks weird, because she's having to cover her accent. And I would say the same thing about Owen, is that I didn't know that he was not American. I just thought he had, like, some kind of weird speech. And it's not like a... Right. I don't know if it was... You know what I mean? Like, who am I to know if it's an intentional choice or...
Right.
It doesn't really bother me. So, sometimes it bothers me. But in this particular case, it didn't bother me, obviously, because I didn't pick on it.
I love how Jason thinks that I just attack the women, because
I was just wondering. I was just... Because your list was growing, but it was all... You know, you throw in the... Bionic Woman, and it's a list of actors that can't pull it off.
I think Hugh Laurie is brilliant. Brilliant at it. But even some of his words, you know, he has trouble saying it, but he's fantastic. Sometimes, and I hate to say this, Yvonne doesn't always cover the accent.
Yeah, she doesn't. It doesn't bother me, though.
It doesn't bother me, but she doesn't always cover the accent. And, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's like me trying to adopt an accent, which... As I've been thinking about it, I can't really do it because I'm going to sound like an ass. But sometimes in my head, I talk in a British accent or an Australian accent.
See, I guess that's why it doesn't bother me, is because sometimes, like, I don't ever do it, but because I'm not very good at it, as we know. but sometimes I know people who sometimes will, like, do something occasionally and speak in a not, like, not in their usual way. So I guess that's why it doesn't bother me if every once in a while somebody slips up on a show.
Right.
It's if it's the every time. Like, I just saw somebody was just complaining in, I think, Alan Sepinwall's comments about Saeed on Lost, about how his accent has changed this season from how, like, because, what's his name?
Naveen Andrews?
Thank you. Blanking out on everybody's name today. Naveen has a very different, like, a very cultured accent when he speaks.
Yeah, he's more British than he is Iraqi.
Well, he is
like
British.
That accent. Right, that's what I mean. Like, that's why you have it the exact same way every single time.
You cut out.
You can cut me out. I'm not even sure what I'm saying. Right. Like, my mind was way ahead of my thought process.
All right, my point was is that he has had the shit.
Never mind.
I love how your brain was ahead of your thoughts.
Anyway, so they were complaining about how his accent this season has been a little bit different than it has every other season. or how it has changed maybe in this last particular episode. I'm not sure if it's really changed or we haven't seen him enough. We haven't seen him a lot.
I think we haven't seen him enough because I don't remember if I don't think his voice has changed at all.
I don't think so either, but multiple people noticed it, so I'm just bringing it up as a, like, that's a little different too. Like, if they haven't done a part in a while, maybe they can't remember exactly how they did it, or you know what I'm saying. So,
it's but that is why they make videotape.
True.
To, like, go back. Somebody's not doing their research.
This is what you did. Anyway, I think Simon Baker's actually pretty good, because every time I hear him do a promo in his regular voice, I'm always like, oh, that's right.
Love when he does that.
And David Lewis, too, I thought he was good. He had a weird affect, though, but
it didn't bother me. Here's the thing. Poppy Montgomery from Without a Trace and Anthony LaPaglia from Without a Trace, they both are Australian. But Anthony LaPaglia has been in the States long enough that his accent's pretty gone. And Poppy Montgomery doesn't have a very strong accent, but I still notice both of the way they talk, even though they don't have a strong accent, that it's not very, like, I don't know. I would expect him to have, like, a New York accent or something.
I don't know. I was trying to think of other people. There's actually a lot when you think about it.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot.
Yeah, you start going through it, and there's, like, almost somebody, it seems like almost somebody on every show that that is from someplace else, but speaking like they're from here.
I don't know the answer, Chris. I happen to agree that maybe...
Chris, we never know the answer.
I don't know that we need to get more international. We just need to get good shows. I don't care what accent they're speaking in, what, you know, who's playing the parts, just as long as they're good.
I think that, in my personal opinion, I wouldn't be bothered by having more of the actors being able to speak in their regular accents, in their native tongue. That doesn't sound right either. But because it wouldn't bother me so much, but I do understand that if something is conceived a certain way and they can't adapt the character to that person, but they still want that person to be the character, you know what I mean? It's understandable that they don't have them speak in their native accent. However, I do think that probably they could, if the networks were more willing to do it, I think that they could probably change characters and let them speak as the actor speaks.
I would watch a hot dude with an awesome accent on a crappy show.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so
I think they underestimate the draw of the accent, both in the females and the males.
I remember back when we were talking to Simon Baker in person. That he had an accent, and it made me even less able to speak. Hearing him say my name in an accent. Ugh.
I could agree, Chris, that maybe they could do more of the adopting of somebody's natural accent. However,
I couldn't see Tim Roth's character playing with a British accent, with an American accent. I couldn't see that. He just seems like a, I don't know, British douche that I love.
All right, can we move on to prime time?
Yes, we can.
The Amazing Reese.
The Amazing Reese.
Did I say that?
I don't know. That's what I heard. The Amazing Reese. Okay.
Speaking of people with accents who I love.
Oh, Phil.
I'm in love with Phil.
I love Phil. Remember when he was in his underwear? Anyway.
The season hasn't been that great for me, but that scene was pretty great. Yeah. All right, anyway. This episode. How are we feeling about this episode and the final three? Which, by the way, I was wrong about. You were right about.
I don't remember who the final three are. So it's Margie and Luke. Spoiler alert. Tammy and Victor and the Redheads.
Correct.
Tammy and Victor, that's who I'm voting for.
That's who I'm going for as well, because I can't stand the other two teams.
I hate the other two teams.
Margie and Luke, last nerve. And I don't mind Kara so much. It's Jamie. And unfortunately for Kara, she's paired with Jamie, so.
Yeah.
And she never ever stops her from screaming at the cab, so. Even though I don't dislike Kara, I have to think that, you know what I mean? She's not too upset with the way she acts.
Because she's just like her.
I know, she never says, hey, calm down. Anyway. Yes, I'm also going for Tammy and Victor, which means we can't bet because we both want the same team to win.
Yeah, because we hate the other teams. I was really hoping that Jen and Keisha would win.
I was.
Only because they're the last team that I didn't hate. And I didn't even like them that much.
That's right. You used to hate Tammy and Victor, so for you to want them in the end must indicate your hate for the others. Yeah, I was hoping that Jen and Keisha would also come in. However, unlike everybody else in the world, apparently, I would not have peed my pants to come in on the mat.
Oh, I absolutely would have. You get to change your pants. It's $1 million.
I wouldn't have. It's not like it's $1 million at that moment. Yes, if I was running for the finish, I would have gone. But to maybe possibly be in the finals, I don't think so. I'm sorry.
Every leg gets you closer to the finish, right? You're always racing for the finish.
You know what I'm saying, Amory. You still have to race three other people for the actual million. So you would have peed your pants and maybe still not won the million. That's what I'm saying.
And I'll tell you this. You would have been made fun of mercilessly by that rude deaf.
By who?
Hate him.
By that rude who?
Luke.
Oh, I would have. Whatever. Luke wouldn't have peed his pants either. Anyway. All right. That's all
you
I
just
say.
You just made yourself sound like Luke, so whatever.
What are you talking about?
You were like, Luke wouldn't have beat his pants either. Basically calling you guys kindred spirits. Hey, Dan.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant he would have been making fun of me for it, but if he'd been in the same situation, whatever.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. No, I'm back on board. I understand. I understand your thought process.
All right. Well, we'll be watching this week, hoping that Tammy and Victor come in first. I'm just ignoring her at this point, people.
You're just ignoring me?
Yes. All right. Moving
on. We can cut like half the conversation out.
Moving on to Greek.
Greek. Dearly beloved, episode 16.
Oh, the wedding. The wedding.
I only wanted to talk about it personally because of the...
We can't say anything?
Nope, you can't say anything. That's not what I meant. I was the one that put it down on the list is what I'm talking about, so I just wanted to explain why I wanted to bring it up. Because Rebecca, because when I was talking to Dilshad on the set of Greek, look at me, bringing it up just like Amber, bringing up Simon Baker, wouldn't spoil me, even though she did spoil, not that she spoiled, but she wasn't afraid to reveal it to Amory and Kath. What up, Kath? That
I hope she made it this far.
Yeah, her new love interest was not, in fact, a boy, but a girl.
Music there.
What?
It was just very drawn out. Was not a boy, was in fact
a girl.
A girl.
Well,
dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Anyway.
Now that that's happened.
I did love Cappy flirting with, and I can't remember the girl's name right now.
Robin.
Robin, thank you. Flirting with Robin and not getting it, even when Robin, like, basically invited Rebecca to go dance with him, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It was cute. I'm not sure I loved the episode as much as you and Dan did, but I thought it was a good episode.
I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was one of my favorites. I don't have a reason why I thought it was one of my favorites. And I don't particularly like that Jordan girl.
Yeah, this is what I wondered. Who goes back to their college to get married?
That is what I wondered, too.
Sorority girls, apparently.
Do they?
Do
they really? I thought they would invite their sorority girls to wherever they are and have a wedding. And who is a sorority girl who... Girl, whatever I just did there.
Oh, my God, say it again.
Sorority girl.
Speaking of accents... Who is a sorority girl who doesn't have more friends than just her little sisters? That's what I'm saying. Because...
Well, she was a total bitch.
This is a valid point. You have a point, and I can't really argue it. But I'm just saying, like, it just seemed odd to me. Like, the whole... Like, in general, I don't nitpick, but It just seemed odd to me that she shut up, Amber. In general, I don't nitpick this show. Like, I'm just like, whatever, I don't care. But I don't really care here either. I just thought it was funny because I was just like, really? Who goes back to their school and gets married in their school? My other nitpick about the show was that, unlike the Greek show Twitter person, who I can't decide if it's Sean or somebody else behind the scenes.
Some of the things that they say, I can see Sean having said.
I know. And in fact, it was the comment about what's-her-face's shirt, the rainbow shirt that I thought was hideous that Kath loved. You probably loved it too, Amory.
I don't remember what it looked like.
It had like, it was just a white shirt and it had a cloud like on one shoulder instead of like the where your shirt, your sleeve would be. It was a cloud.
It looked like Rainbow Bright should be.
Yeah. And the other,
other
side was then a rainbow where the sleeve should be. It was just, I was just like, that's an odd choice. Like, a kid I could see wearing that, but a college student? But clearly, somebody loved it behind the scenes because they Twittered about it.
All right. You should be watching. Oh, another reason I loved it is because Clark Duke is funny. The funniest person I know.
I thought you decided that the whatchamacallits were the funniest guys you knew.
No, they are awesome too. I have trouble going. The guys from Better Off Ted, Phil and Lem, freaking awesome. Very, very funny guys.
Indeed.
Speaking of, people should be watching that show now that it's over. You guys lost. Jerks.
Jason, did you have things to say?
I was going to say.
I'm going to take that as a no.
I like some of the episode. I like Rusty and Jordan, but I don't like how they're doing it necessarily. I don't like.
Who are you kidding? All relationships on TV are born out of adultery.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's the thing that I always hate when they do that on TV is like, you have two characters and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, you'd like to see them together. And then all of a sudden to get them together, one has to like, they don't leave the other one first. They have to show.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, so I don't particularly care for that, but I liked Jordan until she started, not dating Rusty and dating, I can't think of the character's name. Why can I not think of the character's name?
It was the first 45 minutes of the first episode that she was in.
That's right. Character.
They could have done it okay if they hadn't. I would have liked it if they hadn't made them, like, dating. If they had just made them, like,
hooking up.
Yeah, well, I guess what I mean is, like, dating is more the appropriate word versus, like, what it seems like their boyfriend and girlfriend versus, like, just dating. Because there are plenty of people in college who date multiple people, so I would kind of be okay with that, and it would be a problem for Rusty only because it's his little brother, and he has a relationship with him, you know what I mean? Instead of it versus being it actual adultery or whatever, which is actually what it is at this point, so. Well, I mean, they just kissed, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Anyway.
All right. Greek. Should be watching.
Moving on to How I Met Your Mother.
This was Right Place, Right Time, episode 22 of the fourth season.
How do we all feel about the very end?
She's not the mother.
Yeah, that's what I say. I was at first pissed because I accidentally, saw something out on Twitter that said, I can't believe they just, they announced who the mother is or whatever. And I was like, what? I didn't want to know that before I watched the episode, but then I was like, that can't be on the two or three episodes before the end of the season. They're not going to announce that then. And, so I didn't really think that was going to be. And then when they showed who it was, I was like, that's definitely not the mother. And the way the episode goes, he never says that. He just says that if those events hadn't happened so that he would have been there, that the kids would have not been born. It doesn't mean that she's the mother. It just means that that's an event that leads to.
Mm-hmm.
My thought was that there'd be something as small as, she could say, I have a, I have a friend that had an umbrella like that or something. And you end up meeting somebody that's a friend of hers that ends up being with Ted.
I feel like they can't introduce the mother yet. And now Carter Bayes has said that he thinks they can introduce the mother now and explain, like, how she became the mother. But the show is How I Met Your Mother. And the story is already 5 seasons long. Like, those kids are going to kill their father.
Well, that's the other thing is I have a problem with is if she was the mother, is that in the telling of the story of how you met their mother, you would have already had to have said so already. Because how if they met was, you know, last season.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. I don't think she's the mother either. I think it's a moment that changes the course of everything. And his whole point there was to show that how you could possibly take one small detour, you know what I mean, or do something a little different, and it would have changed what happened because he wouldn't have seen her again, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean she has to be the mother. However, yeah, right. I do think they probably, unlike Amory, I think they probably could introduce the mother. And in some ways, it might be smart because of the whole ongoing who is, you know what I mean, like the debates about the mother or whatever. I think they probably could introduce the mother. As long as he admitted at the moment that it's the mother, maybe he doesn't get together with her right away. I think that's where it could go. Like, if they decided to introduce the mother, like, this is when I actually met your mother. There's more to meeting your mother than the actual first meeting. And I think that's what they mean by they could introduce the mother and then it'd be about how they managed to get together.
Well, I watched the episode after I'd, like, been on Twitter. And I didn't see, like, nobody said who it was that was back. And, like, I was like, oh, but then I saw, how can they end that way? And who, I can't believe they brought her back and nobody knew. And I was like, what the hell? I hope it's someone I really like. And I was really pulling for it to be Victoria because I love her and I love Ashley Williams. And it was freaking, I don't even remember her name, Stella, who I hated the character at the end.
Right, but we knew Stella had a connection to the mother, so.
But how do we, I don't remember that.
Because the umbrella. She talks about her friend leaving her umbrella at the same club where they, because remember they had a brief moment there where they kind of teased that she was going to be the same person who was at the club.
Hmm.
In the end, I think people assumed that she must have gone there with the friend who left the umbrella there. But at first they kind of made it seem like they were going to say that they happened to be at, because they were both at the same club on the same night. And that's where he got the umbrella. And we know that the mother is tied to that umbrella. That's why the idea that there's already a connection between her and the mother. That's why it doesn't bother me to say she's not the mother, but she does have a connection to the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, I thought the episode was really good. And those types of episodes are the ones that they do really well at that type of stuff where they go along and then they say, but, you know, this happened because of this. And then they jump back and they show you why it is that Ted wasn't going to his usual favorite bagel shop and, you know, and all those different stories and buying the charts and which
charts was hilarious.
The charts, I don't know. That type of stuff is funny to me. I think stuff like here's a pie chart of how often I frequent my favorite bars. And here's a bar chart of how often I eat my favorite pies. You know, that type of stuff is funny to me.
I liked, I didn't like that Lily is not there. I hate when Lily's not there.
I know, but what are you going to do? She's having a baby.
Yeah. The good news is they shot the finale before she had the baby. Right before she was even pregnant or before she was showing. So she'll be back.
I also miss Lily. However, I'm okay with it because I understand that they can't really... At least they try with, why am I blanking on everybody's freaking name tonight?
Her name is Kobe.
I know, but I was thinking of her character's name.
Incidentally, her name is also Robin, that you forgot, on Greek.
maybe Robin's being blocked to me for some reason. Anyway, Robin, you can tell she's pregnant, but they still gotta show her. Like, they do a good job, I think, of, like, giving her dubious enough clothing that it could be the clothing, but we all know she's pregnant, so.
Or giant purses.
Yeah.
She's got a giant purse collection.
I did like the callback to the intervention, though. That was cool.
Yeah. But I like that when they finally decided to, like, throw his charts away, they were charts that he actually needed for work. I did also like when he goes in and finds out that the bank or the corporation has their own graphics department and that he can get whatever charts he needs made. The look on his face, he was like, oh, we're going to have some fun.
Let's move on.
To Fringe, The Road Not Taken, episode 19.
Again, I only put this on the list because I loved the scene at the very end between Olivia. That was who the other person was, by the way. I was trying to think of who has an accent, who I think would maybe be a little bit better if we could hear her real accent.
Yeah, she sucks.
It really wouldn't work with the Jacksonville storyline, so.
Yeah.
The scene between her, Olivia, and Walter at the very end I thought was really good.
It was so good. Oh, he's so good.
I don't really care about the cliffhanger, but I thought that scene was really good. And I thought the Observer coming in and presumably taking Walter, though, spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about the previews. We see him in the previews, so obviously.
Right. Though, incidentally, I was checking the obituaries in town today. And on Tuesday, May 5th, a man named Walter Bishop, son of Robert, died. And Walter Bishop, on his son of Robert, was taken by the Observer. I was like, that's a little bit of a coincidence.
That is pretty funny. Anyway, that was why I wanted to bring it up, because I just wanted to give some kudos, because I really thought that scene was really great.
Yeah, other than that, nice episode. Looking forward to the finale, see what's up. And then, I mean, there's not really anything else I might have to really say about it.
Well, the other thing, the one thing I did like in the Fringe episode was the little section of the Star Trek talk.
Yeah, that was cool.
I did like that, all the back and forth, and that he was, and that the guy thought he was Spock.
Funnier still, because that
spoiler
guy,
alert, Spock.
That actually is a spoiler. We've already mentioned it, though, so we mentioned it like last week, didn't we?
But anybody who's a Star Trek fan and really knows him knows his voice and knows that it was already in an episode.
True.
He's also in the Entertainment Weekly this week.
Well, some people avoid reading that until after.
Well, he is also in, you know, like a movie this week, too. So
anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
To Lost. Follow the Leader. Season 5, episode 15.
I hated it.
Why did you hate it?
I think I must have been, like, really tired, because I said that odd. I don't really know. I don't know, because I fell asleep midway through. I woke up 2 minutes later, and somehow Kate was on a sub, and they had to ruin my favorite couple because now Juliet's jealous or whatever. They also spoiled us on what's going to happen because they showed us previews from next week.
You always talk about the previews, so.
No, I know. But a big cliffhanger like that, like, oh, look, we're leaving the island. They shouldn't show them. And I always
on the
talk
island?
About how, yeah. I always talk about how Lost is very good at.
Except this week.
The exception that proves the rule.
Why did everybody like this episode? Like, did I miss something?
I didn't love it. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was better than the last episode, in my opinion.
What was the last episode? Faraday's episode?
Yeah. I didn't love that
episode.
Oh, God,
episode. I love that. I love him. I'm still really sad that he's dead.
I'm sorry. And they proved this week that he is dead.
Yes.
You said that happily.
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
No, that was a sad yes.
Okay.
Sad face.
All right. I enjoyed the episode. I didn't love it. I liked the whole, like, entrance to the temple underneath the town. Though I just couldn't understand when she first said that they've been there, like, they've been living in the town or they're, you know what I mean? Whatever. I can't remember how she said it. Something to the effect of, you've been living in the town, so this should be easy. And they're like, yeah, not so much. Yeah. But then I was like, well, why would they even have to go to the town if all it was swimming underneath the freaking waterfall and getting into it? Like, doesn't that seem like that was an easier way to get in anyway?
Yeah, but what if you can't hold your breath?
I guess.
Then you die in that underworld.
I just think they could have made it, maybe they could have made it look a little harder so that I would have bought the idea that, or I guess my other thing is maybe the idea is in order to get the bomb out, if that's what they're thinking they're going to do, although I don't know why they don't think that he's going to explode the bomb or try to anyway, because that's not exactly easy, but.
She says, like, she knows how to explode a bomb.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how. I meant, like, a hydrogen bomb like that. It's not, like, as easy as, like, striking a match. That's not what it's.
Right. Right, exactly.
Just a wick hanging out the back.
Yeah, exactly. Not that easy. Anyway.
I did like when Saeed showed up.
I did like that too.
Nice to see you.
And when he first showed up, I was like, oh my God, I forgot he was out there. Like, I had no idea. I had totally forgotten he was around somewhere. Poor Kate. Her reaction
Poor
to Jack
Kate.
Being... No, I don't really feel that way, but her reaction to Jack being like, we could, like, go back and not have any of this horrible crap happen to us. And she's like, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't all bad, considering they got engaged and did it all the time. I swear.
Yeah, but enough of it was, apparently.
From his perspective, of course it was, but...
Yeah.
I guess
what? This has nothing to do with our conversation, but I just looked at something popped up on my phone. John Cabrera just at Follow Friday view.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, that really was not at all involved in our conversation, except that John Cabrera has good Lost theories and you should go read it. All right, anyway.
Yes. Anyway.
What the hell was I talking about before you interrupted me?
Before you got lost?
Whatever. It was all right. I didn't love it. The submarine effects there, those were so bad. Why did they even have to show us that?
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. I'm hearing that the finale is going to be amazing. You know who told me that? Michael Emerson.
Well, I'm not as jealous about that, so I don't hate you for that.
I'm such a name dropper. I'm such a douchebag.
Anyway, all right. I'm looking forward to next week's two-hour finale. Plus, there's like a one-hour recap before it, isn't there?
I gotta be honest, I'm not gonna watch that.
Or something.
We'll probably put it on because we have Lost Night, but... Yeah.
Right.
Okay, can we move on now?
Yeah, absolutely. I hated it.
Move on. Moving on to Scrubs, my finale, which is either the JD finale or the series finale or maybe a season finale or some sort of finale. Amory hopes it is the series finale.
I really, really. And this, let me just say, it's not because I don't like the show. I love the show. The last like 5 minutes of the show had me bawling my eyes out because I love this show. Okay. But that's why it needs to go.
Because it had you crying.
Because it was a good, no, it was a good ending. Like, it felt like a good spot. Bill Lawrence, you know, put himself in the final scene. Just, I mean, I get that it could work as just a JD finale, but the episodes where JD doesn't appear, I don't like them as much.
Here's
Plus,
what I don't
can't
get.
Stand the two interns. Anyway, go ahead.
Is it really giving ABC that many ratings? This is ABC,
no,
right?
No, it's abysmal. No.
And ABC has like several different comedies that they could possibly pick up. So why keep it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess they should, but you know what they should keep? They should keep Better Off Dead.
Okay.
I mean, if you're with me, people, let's do a hashtag for Don't Save Scrubs. I'm serious. I'm going to use it. Wow, that put a paw on the conversation.
Could use some more Chippets.
You guys are really into the Scrubs coming back idea, I guess.
No, I think I'd be fine.
I don't watch
if it,
the show, so it would be hard for me to be into it.
No, I'd be fine. It, you know, 8 seasons, it ends like that. I think it's a, you know, I think it could go into this side of season finales done correctly type of, yeah. Or series finales. Speaking of which, I love the sort of little bit where he was like, I would hope it would end like a, you know, one of those classic sitcoms. And then it's sort of like a homage to Cheers where he goes and turns the light out. But it turns out that in this hospital, every bit of power is wired to that one switch in the emergency room there or whatever that is.
I did like that they brought like people that have been on that have been through Amy Smart. Like she's a movie star. She was there for 2 seconds and Keith's back and the lady from Desperate Housewives and just fantastic things like that.
Fascinating to me.
It is fascinating.
And by that, I mean, it's not fascinating at all to me.
In Ray's language.
That translates too. Anyway.
I just laughed like I was from a classic TV show. Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.
All right. Are you guys done talking about Scrubs already?
Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?
Yes, now I am. I'm officially done.
Let's move on then to the 100th episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Episode 22 of season 5, What a Difference a Day Makes.
What a difference a day makes.
Narrated by Izzy Stevens. For a little bit of a difference, I guess.
Yes, after all, what a difference a day makes.
One day you're on Grey's Anatomy, the next day you're bitching about the writers. And the next day, you're off.
You're dying! Here's the thing. I don't think they're going to kill her off.
Maybe.
I am very, 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 and that was not the microphone, over Jeffrey D. Dead Duquette.
Yeah, if they had to slide him in there one more time, didn't they?
I just wanted it.
I say inappropriate things.
That was very appropriate, though. I cried. I always cry.
I did too. I always cry. But you know what? I was telling Brains the story today at lunch. I cried, but then so I was kind of teary eyed at the end. It wasn't like I was bawling. But then I saw previews for next week. Spoiler alert! And they showed Bailey bawling her eyes out, and it made me start to cry more. Because I saw this preview, I was like, oh, Bailey! I started crying.
Yeah, and I didn't even see the preview.
Well, see, I have to say that, again, if you minus the Denny part out, although in this case, it's not so bad. It's, it just happens, it just seems really bad because of where they went with it previously.
In this case, he was actually deaf. That's what he was playing.
Yeah. And so... But the rest of the episode and what they did is what Grey's Anatomy does really well. You know,
say that I thought it was predictable, though.
Well, yeah, you pretty much saw that that's where it was going early in the episode, that's where it was probably going to end up. But it still was done well, though. I mean, and then the other story, of all the kids, and then it, and then Alex, what he says at the. At the wedding, that was all done really well.
Alex has a really good memory.
Yeah, exactly. Nice of them to rip off the other girl's speech.
Well, somebody should have got to say the speech in front of a crowd. He changed it up a little bit, fit for him, so a little
school to marriage.
A little writer's option to change things up a little bit. No, but the thing, but her scene, I want to know what the deal is with, you got Booth, you got Izzy, you got House. What is the deal with the outbreak of TV characters hallucinating and seeing dead people or cartoon characters, or it's like a rash of it?
Here's what happened. Corporate synergy on Fox. Shonda Rhimes is delusional on Avon.
It was also on,
and the unusual is Leo's crazy things. House, because they liked Ann Dudek so much and they were pissed at themselves for killing her off. It's very coincidental. Fox, it's corporate synergy. Why would they have, we're not talking about Bones, I just have a problem with Stewie Griffin, whatever.
Yeah, I just think it's
Were you one of those people who said you liked it? No.
I liked the episode.
Tim G said he liked it. I think it just happens. Plus, it's, a brain tumor is a way to describe brain tumors.
Brain tumors are hilarious.
Oh, those brain tumors. They'll get you every time.
Maybe I have a brain tumor. Amory.
Don't joke, Ray. Don't joke.
Joke about anyway.
Yeah. Who or what are you seeing right now?
Never mind.
I love it.
Anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, that a brain tumor is like a convenient, shut up. It was a convenient way to, make it so you can see things that aren't really there, without it having to be a supernatural show or, I don't know, to bring back people, Amory said, who are dead that you wish weren't dead because you would like to be able to use them in your show.
Yeah,
say, that's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
that's another thing I'd like to say. If you're a TV writer and you have somebody that you like, and maybe you only have them for a short time, don't kill them off. Don't kill them off. If that,
yeah.
Come up with a different way for them to leave your show for their, you know, 6-episode arc or whatever.
They could just be like Allie Larder, you know, have multiple of her out there.
Yeah.
It just happened to
keep showing up.
They made a lot of her.
Stacked on TV and still get to have 17 different characters.
Anyway.
I may not just be talking about Allie Larder there.
I just wanted to bring up that, for the record, Grey's Anatomy, whatever show out there, even Bones this week had disgusting stuff, but Grey's, I could do without ever seeing somebody's stomach outside their body ever again. Or small intestine, or whatever the hell that was supposed to be, because that was nasty. That's all I'm saying. Plus, they played into my fear. I have this fear every time I drive by a semi. I like to speed around semis, because I don't like to be around semis. And you know what? My job, we work with simulating and training, like, truck safety inspectors. So, like, I'm even more afraid of them now. Like, when I drive by, I'm like, look at that tire. Doesn't look right. That looks like it's out of regulation. Right. So, they played right into my fears there with the semi driving in or sideswiping or whatever it did, all of those people. So
that's what happened in the episode that Izzy treated a deer for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm deathly afraid of deer.
Oh, Amber, you would have been fun on our camping trip. Anyway. All right. So next week, the 2-hour finale of Grey's should be interesting.
Should be interesting. I
guess we'll find out the fate of T.R. Knight and Katherine Heigl.
Yeah.
Or we won't.
Yeah.
They'll leave you in a spot where you won't know.
That's possible, given
until there's some announcement over the summer.
Given what I read of Chandra's
you're doing well there, okay?
I know. Chandra's blog today.
You really got to work on that accent.
Implied that the episode would bring out emotion so much that they weren't even going to blog about it, because they don't want to read the comments about it all summer long.
Right.
Anyway, anything else? Any other prime time we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay. Next week, we'll be doing our summer preview, talking about when shows will be appearing. And since we're doing that, I don't know when that's supposed to come out. What's the calendar look like?
That would be... sometimes a little more rectangular than square, yeah. But yeah.
Next week is...
It'd come out...
Screw you, Amory.
It'd come out the 18th.
Sorry, I had to wait until it was quiet enough to say it. All right,
come out the 18th or the 19th.
All right, so what I wanted to say was that for Shannon and all of those people who've been following me on Twitter, Primeval will be premiering, the third season, I think, will be premiering on BBC America on May 16th. You can catch up with it beforehand using Netflix, or you can watch it on May 16th and see what I love about it. So I just wanted to put it out there because it'll be starting before we get that next episode out, which is our summer preview. Anyway, sorry. If you would like to comment on this podcast, you have any thoughts on foreign actors using their native accent or the U.S. getting more quote-unquote international, you can do so on our website at tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out!
In the middle side. What?
That's my favorite part of the book. Spell it all out. I do jazz hands. Beautiful.
You do jazz hands. Anyway, in the middle column is our Snapvine widget where you can call in and leave us a comment. Or, of course, you can comment on the blog post itself about this episode, or you can leave us an email on the contact page. Well, how else can they get in touch with us? You can leave us some feedback on iTunes.
You can Twitter us.
At TV Times 3.
At TV Times 3. At Ray Lee. At My Take on TV. At The TVaholic.
Oh, yeah. Us too.
At all four of them.
That's a little... You don't need to do all four. Just saying. One. Pick one and go with it. Okay. That's how you can get in touch with us. The song today, besides the music provided by Amory, the song was provided by IODApronet.com. It's the TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers on their Mercurial titles put out by Yellow Dog Records. All right, you guys. Ciao.
We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Stay tuned for deleted scenes from this episode.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
What the heck's with the phones?
Wow, you have a lot of rings to your ringer.
That's what she said.
I know, I'm still as soon as I reached for the phone, it stopped ringing.
All right.
So I was saying...
Cecilia in my head now.
Oh, Cecilia, you're breaking my heart.
Shaking my confidence, baby.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say something at the beginning, but then I was frustrated from not being able to get things to work. And
that's what she said.
Lost. So we got lost. Lost. Follow the leader.
Say lost another time.
What is wrong with me today?
Today.
Screw you.
Screw you. It's Ray's new comeback.
Such a douche dropper.
That sounds so gross. Please cut that out.
Actually, stop texting text Nathan and pay attention to us.
It's not Nathan that I'm texting.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Like I'm some terrible boyfriend. Boyfriend doesn't
you
even
are.
Know.
He's still a boyfriend whether he knows it or not.
I now know what Ray sees with her brain tumor.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's good. Stay tuned for scenes from our next episode. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say, I got to eat.
No. Gotta eat. See? There you go. I gotta eat.
Sounds like you're doing an Outback commercial.
And on that note,
I can also say Foster's Australian for beer.
Okay,
I can make a lot of money off this.
We were sponsored by both, unofficially, of course, because they have no idea that they're sponsoring us. Outback and Foster's, so go have some.